All right, I want to share with us today, this morning, and I kind of find a title for it, but it's something like, Who Really Are You? Hallelujah. Who Really Are You? And, you know, I was going to say this. If you look at the Psalms of David, and this is the Psalms of David, were things he said that later people, listen to what I'm about to say now, later people now knew he was speaking by the Spirit. I'll say that again. His Psalms were not deliberately scripture. In other words, he's speaking. For example, when he was in dire circumstances, dire straits. In Psalm 22, he says in verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, if you were around him there, you'll have said, you know, you'll have just said, Pele, no, sorry. Because you think he's just talking about what is going on. If he wasn't saying in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, you'll have said, wow, this man loves God. That's what you'll have said. But you know, later years, it was detected that he was speaking by the Spirit of God. Later. Let me show you one place. Are you in church? Look at Acts 1. Acts 1. Yeah. All right, Acts 1. Now, this was when they wanted to replace Judas, who had died, you know, killed himself and all of that. So, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. David did not know Judas. So look at that connection. David did not know Judas. Judas knew David, of course, as an ancestor of his, but David did not know Judas. How then did the Holy Ghost speak concerning Judas? Now, of course, they describe Judas in 17, 18, 19, but look at 20. As it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Let's look at it. Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 25. Psalm 69 happens to be one of the most quoted texts in the Psalms. Verse 25. You see that same Psalm 65 verse 9 when Jesus was speaking in the temple and then they said, for the zeal of my father's house, he said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. David said that. And the apostle said, that's about Jesus too. And when he said, the reproaches of them that reproach me, this is verse 9, they are fallen upon me. Paul said that in Romans 15 verse 2 and 3 about Jesus. So look at 25. Let their habitation be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. And then Peter and the apostle says, that's the Holy Ghost speaking. That's the Holy Ghost speaking. In other words, when the Holy Ghost is on a man's life, and God has chosen men and women to do things for him, to occupy offices for him, you need to pay attention to their conversations. Because David, right, Psalm 78 and verse 70, he says he chose David. All right? And then he chose him to lead the nation of Israel, his own flock. God chose him. He says, but 72, verse 72 says, but by the skillfulness of his hands and the integrity of his heart, God chose him. Okay? And for Samuel 16, for Samuel 16 and verse 14. We see for Samuel 16 and verse 13, sorry, the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So when we know people that God has placed over our lives, their words are not ordinary words. They don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." No, no, no. They don't have to say that. They don't have to say, "The Spirit is speaking." Mm-mm. Because as we saw in the Psalms, David never introduced it as "the Spirit of God is telling me." No. Because when a man is a vessel, virtually everything he does matters. Sometimes including his errors. You pay attention. I've always told you, what is God's greatest method in the earth? Huh? Man. So, if you get it wrong there, you get it wrong everywhere. Man. God uses men. That's God's greatest method. Man. So you must pay utmost attention to men that God is using. When they speak, you are not in the flesh. You are not stupid to think, "Oh, is it because of what I said yesterday?" You know, you can get it. Is it because of what I wore? Is it because he saw me say that thing that day? Is it, you know, you begin to qualify. Is it because, you just get in the flesh. And you say, "Well, after all, she can't talk, she can't say that, she should not say that." You know, you get in the flesh. But that is David. Hallelujah. That's David. He, "Well, you know, that is his own, you know." That's his own. Of course, you know I'm not talking about personal bias here. That's his own, no. That's his own. Every one of us, we have our own personal relationship with God, you know. Rubbish. Hallelujah. God didn't know who he was. That this is a man, 1 Samuel 16:13, the Spirit of God came on him from that day forward. And God put him over his people. So God will use him to speak to his people. So when a man of God is speaking, right? I got too much rank to classify that man of God with every other speaker in society. That's not wise. When a man of God, now I'm talking male and female now, when a man of God is speaking, I am not listening to him or her like every other person. There's a difference here. The difference here is that this man has the Spirit of God upon him. So I'm able to see clearly. And I'm able to know. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So the kind of counsel I take from a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, is different from what I take from the world. The things of the world will have implications in the world. The things of the spirit will have spiritual implications. So I'm able to see. And let me tell you something. If there is an area you should pay attention to well, when your pastor is speaking from his experience, Don't think, oh, that's not the Bible. You know, that's the way we think. That's not the Bible. That is, that's his experience. I have my experiences. And that's not intelligent. Many times, God has allowed men and women of God to go through circumstances that they have now become his instructions for you. You learn. You learn it that way. I'll share it with you on Wednesday, or Tuesday, sorry, in church, and I think on Sunday too. That there was this person who just heard me share a story. And when she heard me share the story, she took what I said and acted upon it, you know, and that's how she was able to break a particular shackle of the enemy over her life, because she heard me say the story. Hallelujah. And so you must listen well. Thank God for the scriptures that you write. Hey, you're putting it down. Fine. You should, that's first. But together with that, listen very well to those experiences that have been shared. Is that okay? Alright, look at Romans 15. Romans 15. I said we're going to look at who really are you. Who are you? Romans 15. Now, Paul says in verse 4, that whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's before now, were written for our doctrine. That's what we're learning there. Didaskalia. For our doctrine. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. For our doctrine. The things written aforetime were for our doctrine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read to you verse 6. Now this is talking about the Exodus people, and this is Paul. He says, now these things were for our examples. Tupos in the Greek means pattern. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Say they are our examples. Now, look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, again, and were written for our admonition. So they are scriptures, okay, upon whom the hands of the world are come. Our examples. In fact, in Hebrews 4, the writer of Hebrews equally, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any shall fall after the same example of unbelief. So we have examples. So within the Old Testament text, we have examples. Examples. So you know how you teach in class? And how many of you teach? I know you teach the Bible, okay? But I'm saying you teach in maybe the primary school, secondary school, you lecture in university. Let me see your hand. Huh? Raise your hand. Come on. Your reward is in heaven, right? Something like that. Okay. You know that usually what drives home what you are saying are the examples that you give. Am I right? Are the examples that you give. The examples, like, they give life to what you are saying. They give flesh to it. That this is what we are talking about. Oh. This is what we are saying. That is, the examples direct you to the essence of what is being said. The examples show you how it is. Look at 1 Peter 3. Verse 5. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So when he's talking about women, submit to your husbands, he is not asking you to go to dictionary or go and read a magazine. The example of what he's saying is in the scripture. So when we talk about a faithful minister, it's in scripture. When we talk about being in James 5, 16, he says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Then he says Elijah was a man of like passion, which means the New Testament recognizes the prayer life of Elijah. That's the prayer life he's talking about. Are you here? That's what he's talking about. So there is an example. Look at this one. Even as Sarah, 1 Peter 3:6, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now I've not asked you to go and call your husband Lord. Lord Shegu. But it's respect. Honor. Now if you do that today, they'll say you're not romantic. Romantic. You're not romantic. That's not romantic. How can you be saying sir to your husband? That's rubbish. We're in 2022, man. Now the way we rewrite the Bible. Okay? And he says, sir. Now, of course, this is not talking about just title. Sir, be careful. You know, that's not that's not what he's saying. He's talking about the reverence, respect. Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. That is, you are not afraid to do the right thing. Hallelujah. We have the example. When Jesus when he spoke about the Gentiles, and everybody's upset. Why is he talking about the Gentiles? In Luke 4, and they're upset about the things he's saying about the Gentiles. He gives them the example. Luke 4, verse 25 and to 27. He spoke about Elijah and Elisha. That they said there were many prophets in Israel. Many widows. But unto none was the prophet Elijah sent to but the woman of Zarephath. Said there were many lepers. But unto none were prophet Elisha sent to but to Naaman. So that is the example. Hallelujah. So when we teach in the New Testament text, we have the examples in the Old Testament text. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Come on, talk to me. Is that very clear? In the Old Testament text. So, it's important for a believer to know who he is. And I'm saying that to us because knowing who you are. Now, I realize you say, well, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is true. But I'm not addressing that alone now. Who really are you? Because, see, if you know who you really are, thank God for encouragement. Thank God for motivation that your pastors will give you, your Christian friends will give you to walk with God. But listen to me. If you know who you really are, right? What your pastors will do for you, right? Will be, let's say, just about 50% of what is needed. Because you know who you are. No one will appear like they are cajoling you. They are urging you. No. Because if you don't know who you really are, I'm going to talk about this later. You think they are forcing me to, they are, you know, someone said, the stress was too much. The stress was too much. The stress of what? today they tell me to go and do follow up. They will tell me to. They will tell me to. Tomorrow they'll say I should pray. And they'll tell me. And then the fellow now sees somebody else who is a Christian, Christian, and doesn't do those things. A Christian was telling me this, and I shook my head. So someone sat me down and said, look at me very well. This is someone who had been through his local church. He's where they teach them the word of God night and day, day and night, even midnight. And then someone said, look at me very well. You are a banker. And the person said, it just dawned on me who I really was. Yes. And the person was talking to me, and I was learning. You are a banker. I said, look, you cannot afford to be doing those things. Now I remember, this is another story, but my dad used to tell me why he used to get to church late. So I asked him, why do you get to church late? The church services start around 8 or so. My dad will get there 12:30. That means the church is still on. I'm just trying to let you know. So I asked him, I said, why do you come to church? No, I didn't ask him. He was feeling guilty. Because my father is a punctual person. He likes to be punctual. He likes to be somewhere, you know, he calls me restless. I call him the father of the restless man. So he would, I remember when he was having his coronation ceremony, they said, you should be inside. He said, no. He had to go a day before to see everything was well set. It was this one. In the morning, he said, you are the cabbage. You should be inside. I said, no. I don't want any problem. And he's like that. So he's punctual. But for church, his church, he'll go late. He said, you know, he mentioned his pastor. He said he has no way he's going to. That all he does in his life is preach. Pray that I have other things I want to do with my own life. That's how he explained it. He said he can afford to be in that church all day. I cannot. So I'll just come. And they made him part of church council. Very, very interesting. He said, I just come towards the end. He said, because towards the end, I noticed that the spirit is different. He was telling me. He said, the man will begin to prophesy. And then he will pray that he takes that as for the week. I shook my head. See that thinking? I am not. So I told him one day, I said, but your dad was a preacher. I said, yes, I know. That's how my father too was doing. He will be there all day. We will come and be praying. They will be praying. And I said, no. So many times I'll just run away and go and play football. He never changed. You know? But later part of his life, he read more Bible. He needed it. We should not be like that. So this fellow said, you are a banker. Let it dawn on you. And the person said, it dawned on me. So all our Pauline prayers entered bush. One person, an unserious believer, who has worldly clout, wealth, and influence, was able to tell you, it dawned on you. He said, interesting. And the person now dropped one last statement. That you don't have to be in any local church to serve God. I said, let's discuss something else. Politics. Fashion. Because the way we are going, we enter a this. This is where we are going. This conversation is going to enter a this. And the gates of heaven might prevail this time around because the way you are going. But you know the problem with that person, even though the person was excited, had been around the church, a world church as we call it, a world church for a long time, served there, you know, had cried in the services, had been to conferences, had read materials, but never, ever sat down to discover himself in what he's listening to. You know, you can listen to a teaching like it's a sermon. Or it can be a discovery for you. That's why you need to outgrow excitement. you don't know who you are. And we're going to see that. Because when you don't know who you are, you become different things by time. Who really are you? And I'm grateful to God that early enough in life, I knew the path I was going to chart. It wasn't difficult. When I was in university, they asked us, and they said we should write in our, is it final year book? Is that final year book? We should write what you intend to do in the next 5 years. You know, and some Christians are interesting. They want to blend with the world. They now say, I want to do this one. I want to do, and so that they won't think you are over spirit. You know, remember then someone say, all these spirit people. So I used to call them Kana Kana. So it's one. So, you know, and I said, the next 5 years, I think 10 years. I said, the next 10 years, I want to have preached the gospel in many places. And the girl said, Pastor Shakes. Yes, I understand this. What puts real life things? You know, I said, no, this is real life. So they felt that by saying things like that, you not amount to anything good in the natural. Nonsense. Nonsense. That's not what it means. It means this is where my priority is. Remember, my dad and mom, you know, they used to disagree to agree about me. You don't understand that. They used to disagree a lot, but they used to agree about me. And then they sat down one day and they said, you know, that they are so unhappy, that, you know, this is you just go out, use everything, is religion, you are carrying religion in your head, you are this one. Later I mocked my mom on that. And she said, they said, look, we met Christianity, we were born into it. We were born into it, and my dad told me stories. They were both speaking, I was looking at them. So they felt that, and there's a way I can be looking at you, you feel I'm learning. My dear uncle, go to your one time, my dad took me to him for counseling. The man used to wear white alone. He didn't used to wear just white. So they believed he was very pious. My dad said, this boy is going astray. So I sat down, the man spoke to me for about 4 hours. He told me stories upon stories, and I would be nodding. And so, said, have you heard me? I said, yes, sir. So, my dad was outside. He was smiling. He believed that was his last card. Because the man used to attend a church in Lagos, a very popular church. So, he's Christian. So, they felt this man would speak to him. So, as we were going out. So, the man said, I've spoken to him and he has told me that he would change totally. I said, no, sir, I didn't say that. Huh? My dad said, eh? A confused person that you can cancel out of this thing. You get it? I'm not a confused person. Before in life, before I reach a conclusion of my conviction, it takes me time. But when I do, that's all. You can. And I say, oh boy, look at this guy. I said, no, you were talking. And I said, yes, sir. I didn't tell you. He said, are you now saying that all? I said, no, sir. I had to listen to you. I learned from what you have said. And I will use it well. My dad said, somebody is influencing this boy. I said, no, I am the influencer. Don't get it wrong. You know, and people that you can see, and they'll say, no, come and hear this. So my mom and dad, they were sitting down, they were talking. And my mom is the heaviest one. She will say, look, my mom was doing for, who called you? Who called you? Do you even know how to hear God? Who called you? You, look at her. So I sat there and I said, can I say something from my heart? I've been willing to say this. I said, yes. My dad said, yes. I've met my dad before. He said, yes. Talk. Say what is in your mind. I said, thank you. Thank you for the privilege. At least now you want to hear me talk. I said, you know, when you and my mom, when you had sex and it became a child, and that child is me, they're looking at me. Do you know the reason why I became a child? So that child could preach the gospel. My dad shook his head. He said that was the day he knew it's over. You talking to? It took me a while to be a committed Christian. I used to go for altar calls every week. But when I stopped going, I knew why. I charted a course. It took me a while. Because then my greatest problem was music. Every time I listen to music, I backslide. That was my greatest problem. Music. Back to life. Back to reality. That means you are backslid. Today you are so free. You can listen to music and you can even sing it in church. Bugao. When a fellow brother sees you, he say, you can't even sing it. If you are washing, you know when you are washing, things come to your mind. Songs you never knew you knew. Or you are cooking for women. I know you women, yeah. So when your husband comes to you, now be saying, I am the righteousness. Whatever what you were singing before. In Christ Jesus, a brother in church say, sister, can you go? He says, every time that we are gathered in your, gathered in this kitchen. Are you gathered in the kitchen? So that was my problem. We backslide. I used to write articles there, a lot of articles in my secondary school. I write articles. Was it 2 days ago? Some boys were reminding me of one major article I wrote that caused problem. Where is the head of our fish? In GSS 1. And it caused problem in the school. That we get fish, but we've never seen the head of our fish in the boarding house. Have you ever asked? You should have asked. He said, what is this boy thinking about? My dad said that they'd never asked in his own time. I said, I asked though. Where is the head of our fish? A guy reminded me, Wale, so he said, you even drew the fish in the article. So, that was it. But when I made up my mind to serve God, I did not need anybody. I've never relied on a sermon on giving to give. There's no reason for it. Thank God for sermons to pray. Oh, I'm grateful to God. I read some books and I still do down by prayer. But I know I have to pray. It's an identity crisis when you need someone to always tell you what you know you ought to do. Who are you? Have you bothered to ask? Because we are in serious times, brothers and sisters. Times where the social media that I love, you love to, and God wants to use it for His glory. It's good for our commercial activities. It's good for our entertainment activities. It's good for education and many things. But just like anything of the world, it comes with its own baggages. And so you will lose your identity very easily. Very, very easily. You have, different things that will take your attention. Very easily. Even the church, says, is losing its identity. So, businesses are saying that, there's a new normal that you can work remotely. You can be in Nigeria and working for a company you've never been to in Australia. You can be in Australia and working for a company in America and you and your bosses have never seen except on Zoom. And so that's goods and services. Entertainment. You can entertain people. You can act a movie in London and then watch it in Sri Lanka. Entertainment. But you see, the church cannot lose its identity to the world. We are not an entertainment organization, neither are we a business organization. We function by physical fellowship. It's too integral to the Christian service. You can't lose your identity to the world. So you get on social media, and when you don't have a grounded understanding of who you are, anything will appeal to you. Hey, I like this guy. I want to be like this guy. Because we are, I've told you, man is a product of what? Influence. We are all a product of influence. There's nothing you are today that you were not influenced. Nothing. So who really are you? Before you get into, before you throw yourself without caution, who really are you? Who are you? You get in the midst of unbelievers. You want to feel among. Why would you want to feel among? Now I'm not trying to denigrate unbelievers, but how, have you ever thought about a lion? Because a lion is surrounded by, let's say, cats. Or let's say, that's different. It's surrounded by mice. Then it says, you know, so that they will not feel like I'm too different. Can I just be doing... No, there's no need for it. There's no reason for it. The moment you are doing that, you have lost your identity. Who really are you? Who are you? Hallelujah. Raise one hand and say, I'm born with a purpose. Say, I have a purpose to live for. Put your hands down. We said, Saints Community Church, making your life count. Making your life count. Look at James 1. Are you here? Who really are you? Why would a Christian man, why would a Christian man or woman be married to a non-Christian? Why? They say, I'm falling in love. What about prostrate? So you are falling in love. Why did, how did it even happen? What was the meeting point? How did it happen? How did it happen? What were you thinking? Who do you think you are that got you to a point where you are trying to pray about it and you are going for counseling? Who are you? Now I'm not talking about, I'm an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and you say that and you're just excited in church and go, no. I'm saying, when you are alone, who do you think you are? When no one is there. Who do you think you really are? Who are you? Because until you get to that point where outside the church you take the word of God and you meditate upon it and you see yourself. I mean, you see yourself. You will know who you really are. Hallelujah. Do you know, as a younger preacher, if I go for a service, if I'm preaching, and I used to travel a lot, and I'm grateful to God for that. I used to travel a whole lot to preach and teach. And sometimes they will give me a theme to preach. And I'll see in the mind of the organizers that they have something in their mind as the theme. Okay, from scripture. And sometimes they would get it wrong, many times. Do you know, I've never felt like impressing them. So they would say, no. Because I know who I am. I preach the word. That's what I'm supposed to do. I just preach the word. Remember myself, Reverend Frank, good, I'm remembering these days. He would travel to Accra. We went to Kumasi. And, they asked me to talk about new life, eternal life. Now in the minds of, because that was the name of the Bible Institute, the minds of the people were like, eternal life, when we die, and I knew that was what there was in their minds. I just got up. They told me at the spur of the moment. And the man said, you know, people want to know about eternal life. When it, and he said all that. And I just spoke of the moment. And I taught for over 4-5 hours. And I just preached about the life of God. Eternal life. And I spoke. And the man came to me and he said, which Bible school did you attend? They are in a Bible school. He is the rector of the Bible school. He wants to go to another one. And then I told him, I went to the school of the Holy Ghost. He said, where is it? This was in 95 or so. So, you know, Who are you? Who really are you? So that they will not feel, so that they will not... Is when you don't know your identity, then you become impressionable. You become impressionable. Impressionable. I went for a camp meeting. And when we got there, they had not even arranged the accommodation well. We paid for it, right? So they put us in a school. And that school wasn't... Now I know how that can happen because, you know, sometimes you are the best leader until you start to lead. You are the best pastor until you have two disciples. Some people are very good pastors, but they can't have one disciple in church. You say, the guy is not responding to treatment. And you are talking against a pastor of 1 million people. One person cannot come the next week through you. Just one, retainership 1 week. You are the best. You know? So obviously they put us in a place that wasn't too comfortable, but we came for the camp meeting. Some brethren just, you know, they don't know who they are. They just started doing Aluta. You know, Aluta, riots. No, let us go and meet the organizers. And Christians. They came together, you know, and they came from different places. You know, there's a way they find themselves. Say, let us go and meet the organizers. We want to go and meet them. And they were talking loud. Yes, we cannot, what is this now? In a Christian meeting. I said, don't you know where you are? Look! I tried to tell them, I said, brethren, I said, don't do that one here! Because we're Christians, don't mean to take shit. Yeah? Now, I know Aluta. As a secondary school boy, I led the whole school to do Aluta. So I know what Aluta is. A secondary school boy. That you could give a punch and he will faint. But when I motivate people, I said, Winston Churchill said. This is a, yeah! And you know, my school father, Yomi Lopez, was the head of school, so he was also an Aluta person. So I said, I do all these things now. I've done this before, but this is church. He said, no way! He said, no way! We are going to go. I said, brethren, we have just 4 days. By Monday, this is how I said it. When we get home, we can sleep on our water bed. Let's sleep on this one. He said, no way! We cannot take this now. And you know, they don't know who they were. They didn't know who they were. You are Christians. You are a believer in the gospel. You are not of this world. In Christianity, we don't complain. We don't murmur. The world calls it legitimate agitation. The Bible says God He hates murmuring. That's the Bible. So who are you? Who really are you? Such that in church you're someone else. But when you get home, your wife looks at you and says, and is shocked and stunned at what she's seen. Your husband is shocked and stunned at what he's seen. Your children are shocked and stunned by what they are seeing. Because you have a worldly personality. You don't know who you are. So you're going to have a dual identity because you don't know who you are. James 1. Are you here? James chapter 1. I'm just about to get to the teaching itself. James 1. I'm reading 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word hearers only means someone who goes for a show to watch the show, but it is not part of the action. Hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. The one deceiving yourself, paralogizomai in the Greek, means to act beside yourself. To act beside yourself. That's what it is. The way I got to know this word, I can't remember, I can't forget it. It was 1995. I was teaching, I didn't even know the Greek word. So I was explaining it, and a brother said, paralogizomai, I can't forget. So I've never forgotten that word. Because we used to call him paralogizomo. Paralogismos, sorry. So, to act beside yourself. Now look at 24. Verse 23, sorry. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Natural face. That word there is Genesis. Genesis. His face of birth. His appearance when he was born. It's the same word you find in Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy or generations of Jesus Christ. Genesis. You go to Genesis 5:1, it's the same written about Adam. So which means, the way you are born ought to reflect in what you do. The way you are born. How you were born. Why you were born. Now, by using Genesis, I'm just going to give you a bit of theology here. By using Genesis, right? God's pronunciation upon the sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15 was that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That word is Zera in Hebrew, Z-R-A, which means someone that you gave birth to in that context. So which means the very first human birth, hear me now, that God will pronounce upon had a purpose to it. Had a purpose. The seed will bruise. Will bruise the seed, your child. So which means, from Genesis, people are born for a purpose. Write this down. Not even the parents will know the purpose. It's God who said it. The seed of the woman, he says in there, will bruise the head of the serpent. And from that up to Jesus, right, we saw purpose attached to birth. So in Genesis 4 verse 1, when Eve had Cain and Abel, she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's what she said. I've gotten a man from the Lord. But you know what happened? Cain became the first Antichrist. He walked against that purpose. He killed Abel. So when Adam, because Abel died, Cain went away, and when Adam and Eve had sexual intimacy again, and then the child came. She said, I have gotten, Genesis 4:25, another seed instead of Abel that Cain killed. Don't lose sight of the instructive definitions in those statements. So, Abel had a purpose, right? And she had Seth, near Enosh. And in Genesis chapter 5, we see another man born by the name of Enoch. Go in there quickly. I mean, Noah. Are you here? Who am I? The first thing I said is, Even your parents don't dictate it. They don't know. They can know about the Holy Ghost. We'll see that shortly. But it's known by God while you were born. Look at it. Genesis 5. A man by the name of, Noah was born. Genesis 5 and 29. And it says, they called his name Noah. Now, I want you to pick that word called. It's the Hebrew word kara, Q-A-R-A. Now, if you take that to the Greek, you'll see when Paul was praying for the church, and he says that the eyes of your understanding, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So they called his name Noah, and that word calling Kaleo, or from the word Kalesis, K-A-L-E-O. And you know, you take that word from the church, ecclesia. You are called. So listen now, people are called at their birth. The calling has to do with your birth. The hope of your calling. Hope simply means the expectation. There is an expectation in the way you were born. There's an expectation in the way you were born. So you put this together, say, my calling is the same as the birth. My birth. My calling. So they had Noah and called his name Noah, saying, this shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. Now the word Noah actually means rest place. A place of rest from the curse. So, when James said to us, you see your natural face, which is the word genealogy, Genesis, he's saying, what you were born for, what you were born with, what you are called at birth. Hallelujah. He's born for a purpose. He's born for a purpose. So we have Noah, born for a purpose. And he fulfilled that purpose. Watch what I'm about to say. He had his career. He had his profession. But that was not the purpose. Are you here? Are you following this? He had his career. He had his profession. But that was not the purpose. In Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And that statement was repeated. And in the image of and likeness created he them. Male and female created. That is, there is a purpose. A reason. And so he says here, Noah was born for a reason. Because his ancestor, great-granddad, I guess, Enoch had prophesied. So, in Genesis, when Lamech, Enoch had, Genesis chapter 4, 5, Enoch had Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies, it will happen. It's quite a complicated Hebrew word. Methuselah had Lamech. Lamech had Noah. So you could see there was a reason for his birth. It had to do with something God was doing in the earth. Same as Abel. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God spoke to Abraham. I'll start from 2. I will bless you and you and make your name great, Genesis 12:2, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God spoke to Abraham. In verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. And God repeated that over and over to Abraham. Unto thy seed. And one time, Abraham just felt it wasn't happening. In Genesis 15, he said he wanted his servant Eliezer to be the seed. And God said, no, out of your bowels. Out of your bowels. Which means there is also a how he's born. Not just the person born, but how he's born. How? And so, when Abraham and Sarah were said to have ceased after marrying woman Sarah, and Abraham naturally would have been childless as well. And God said, this is what I want. This is exactly what I want. So the circumstances itself had a purpose. The circumstances where Isaac came from. Now you had Jacob, Genesis 25 and verse 23. Jacob, where the mother Rebekah had two nations in her womb. Two nations in her womb. Two. Jacob and Esau. You had Joseph, another child of Jacob, who the father just loved. He loved him. Why was he born? He was born to preserve an entire nation. To preserve God's purpose in the earth. What about Abel? What about Noah? They were called after purpose. So the calling is the birth had a reason to preserve an entire nation. Why? Because in Genesis 15, God has spoken about the whole nation of Israel, Genesis 15, that they will go into Egypt, to captivity, and then God will call them out. But for everything God does in the earth, he has men that will fulfill it. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Are you here? Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Say, I'm here for a purpose. Say, I'm here for a reason. Say, this world does not define who I am. Luke's Gospel 1. John the Baptist. Verse 13. Fear not, Zechariah. For thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Luke 1:13. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, look at Jesus too. Verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. In all these instances, the reason for their birth was known before they were born. Was known before they were born. The reason for their birth. In Galatians 1:15, Paul, relying on this fact of Bible theology, says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called by his grace. Put that one there because we're coming to that in a moment. called, the same word, kaleo, called by his grace. So which means, I can know why I was born by the grace of God. What was given to me? What did God give me? What did he give me? What did he grant me? Well, we're going to see a few personalities that the circumstances of their birth did not have anything prophetic. But along the line, they were called by the grace of God. So sometimes, you see in scripture, the reason for the person's birth will be known before he was born. Sometimes years after, he comes in contact with the grace of God, then he knows why he was born. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Come on, let me see. Is it making sense? Very good. Now, look at Moses. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. You will see why salvation is called being born again. The new birth. Because your life is tied to why you were born. Because people were born in scripture for a reason. Exodus 2. Are you there? Come on, are you there, guys? Are you there? And verse 2. And now I'm starting with one. And went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, daughter of Levi. This is why Levites were chosen, right? Now before then, what was going on? Watch this. A Pharaoh had arisen, verse 8, that did not know Joseph, became brutal and really bestial against the Jews. Nation of Israel began to kill their children, the boys. The midwives had to hide the children and all of that. And in the midst of all of that, look at verse 22, chapter 1 now. Every son that is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter shall stay alive. Now look at guys. That's what is going on in the world. That is what is going on in the world. So which means, the moment you are in the labor room and you see a boy, you say, oh. As soon as you see a boy, you think, bye-bye. That's what you read in the world. That's what you will hear in the press. That's what the social media will show you. But God has a different reason. And you have a man and a woman come together and they have a child. Verse 2, Exodus 2. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, he was goodly. The word tohub in the Hebrew. Goodly. Not that he was fine boy. She saw something. She saw God's purpose. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. To know the importance of what is there, Hebrews 11, 23 says, by faith. Can you see it? Turn there quickly. By faith. The faithfulness of God. By faith. Moses. When he was born, was he 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They were not afraid. They saw he was a proper child. The Greek of this word is that he was fit for something. Fit for something. They saw he was a proper child. Hallelujah. They didn't see it before he was born. We have seen those that they saw before they were born. Now, they saw it when he was born. And those who know, watch this, those who know why they were born, they had the Holy Ghost. They had an instruction from the Lord. They saw it. Why he was born. A proper child. So because of that, they treated him differently. They hid him. Hid him. Ensured that they were obeying God and not the king. Jeremiah 1. Are you there? Are you there? Jeremiah 1. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 5. Let's read it together. Jeremiah 1:5. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's go now. Before I form thee, I'll wait for you. Irrespective of who his parents were. Irrespective of who they were. For all I care, the mom probably was a prostitute. The father was a drunkard. It made no difference. No. Made no difference. For all I care, the dad probably was an idol worshiper. Made no difference. There's a reason why you were born. Hallelujah. Let's take it together. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Look at his response. Let's take verse 6 together. Oh, ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. He was saying something else. But the Lord said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee and called thee a prophet to the nations. Raise your two hands. Say, Lord, I see your purpose on my life. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Before I was born. Before I was born. Raise your two hands and pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In this conference, let my eyes see who I am. Let my mind conceive who I really am. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let my eyes see who I really am. Let my mind conceive who I really am. I cannot be lost in this world. I cannot be lost in this world. I cannot be without identity in this world. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't be lost. No, I can't be miserable in this life. I can't walk on without knowing this. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray this for yourself. Show me who I am by your word. Let not my career dictate who I am. Let not the family I was born from dictate who I am. Let not the village, the town, the city I was born, the country I came from, let it not dictate who I am. Let not what happened to me dictate who I am. Let not my marriage dictate who I am. Let not my not being married dictate who I am. That which you ordained for me. Hallelujah. So really, the circumstance of why you were born, how you were born. You could be a single mother. Some were born out of sexual molestation. As evil, as ridiculous as that is. Some were born by drug addicts. Some were born in Muslim homes. Some were mistakenly born. I've had people that the parents wanted to abort them, but they were born. But you are here now. Hallelujah. You are here now. And there's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for your life. There's an identity about your life. There's who you really are. And who you really are has been defined before you came. Who you really are has nothing to do with where you were born. You must know. You must know who you really are. I told you, I sat my parents down and I told them why I was born. How? This was about 27 years ago, or 28. Why? Because I found it. I found it. It is not a temptation in my mind to do something else. I found it. Am I a businessman? Am I a career person? Am I into politics? Am I into different, I am into different things, but I know who I am. There's nothing as fulfilling than knowing who you are. It will dictate everything in your mind. everything that you do. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost one moment. Come on, pray, pray. I want this to sink into your mind. Who you really are. Don't get to America, United Kingdom, South Africa, Europe, South America and get lost. Don't leave Lagos and get lost. Don't leave Abuja and get lost. Know who you are. Don't make money and get lost. Don't get married and get lost. Don't have children and get lost. Don't get older and get lost. Know who you are. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't start pastoring and get lost. Hallelujah. Are you here? That is why John 1:13, talking about Jesus, which was born, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man, not of blood. Then you say, did they have flesh and blood? Did his mother not agree to give birth to him? Said, but of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray again. Look at John 1:13. And you're going to pray. Not the will of the flesh. Not of blood. Blood is my ancestry. You know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Hausa, I'm Igbo, I'm Yoruba, I'm Igebu, I'm Ekiti, I'm Fulani. No. Then you are not getting it. You are not getting it. Look at John 1:13. I want you to pray. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of man. Not of blood, but of God. Pray for yourself. To see that which about you is not the will of the flesh. It's not the will of man. It's not of blood. When you know who you are, you will not struggle in the church. You will not struggle in the ministry. No, you will not. You will not. No, you will not. Because you know who you are. You have no identity crisis. Childhood dreams died. The day you come into contact with purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why James said to us. James said, let not be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Watch this. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. James 1:18. That we should be a kind of the first fruits of his own creatures. Hallelujah. So when he says, when you look in the mirror, you see your birth picture. Who am I? Who am I? Why is salvation called being born again? Why is it called the new birth? Because in the Bible, birth has to do with purpose. Is that clear? So the moment I am reborn, my purpose for living changes. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? The moment I am born again, my purpose for living has changed because now I am reborn. So the new birth means a new path of life. The new birth, a new parent, a new path of life, a new course to chart. Because before you were born again, God has a purpose for you. You're born again. So the new birth is real birth. Is real birth. Where we are the agencies of men involved in our physical birth. They don't even know why we came. We came for the new birth. To have a new purpose to live for. John 3:3. Except a man be born again. Except a man be born again. No matter how good he is, no matter how nice he is, no matter how industrious he is, no matter how sincere he is, no matter how religious he is, no matter how lovely he is, no matter how good a parent he is, no matter how good a mother or father he is, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't see it. He can't see it. Except the man is born, verse 5, of the water, which is the Spirit of God, he can enter into it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. My brother, don't I say that you must be born again? The wind blower, Jesus said. And listen, you can hear the sound, you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. So your purpose in life can only be fulfilled by the Spirit. Don't get lost in your career. Don't get lost in your profession. Don't get lost in marriage. Don't get lost raising children. Don't get lost as a Nigerian. Don't get lost as an American. Don't get lost as a British person. Don't get lost in South Africa. Don't get lost as a Ghanaian. Don't get lost. Not of the will of flesh. Not of blood. Not the will of man, but of God. Say, I am of God. I don't think I hear, say, I am of God. Church, say, I am of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I am of God. 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 My purpose is of God. I am of God. Hallelujah. That is why Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? Hope means expectation. It's like the future of your calling. So when you come in contact with the new birth, you know who you are. Only the Spirit. Only the Spirit can tell you who you are. In 1 Samuel, a woman by the name of Anna, she's in the temple praying. She's praying and she's bitter. Bitter not positively, not negatively. Praying for a child. Watch this. And you know, Eli the priest came around. And Eli, we're going to view this later on. Eli said, you are drunk, woman. And she said, no. You know, today, if you say that to anyone, say you are drunk, person will just say, I'm not drunk. With due respect. I'm not drunk, sir. You are the one that is not smelling well. Said, your handmaid is not drunk. I'm only praying. Now, how would you know? You know, how would you know that that's how she's going to get the prayer answered? She got the prayer answered through someone that misunderstood her. I've told you, never fail the tests. Never. Never fail the test. The person God is using to bless you might even be wrong. But the fact that God wants to use the person cannot be wrong. And when you get in the flesh, you are wrong. And Samuel came. And she made a vow. She said, I'll give this child to the Lord. Again, his purpose was known before he was born. Hallelujah. His purpose was known. And chapter 2, he's now in the house of Samuel. I mean, Eli. You know? Watch this now. Your mom will have told you. Hey, Sammy boy. You know, Pastor Eli was the one who prophesied. Wow. So Pastor Eli is, you know, so you are really desirous to go to his house and stay there. So you are going to live in the temple. So when he grew to a state, she took him there. So he started seeing Eli's kids. Bad guys. Bad guys. That nickname. Eli B. You know, they had all sorts of appearances. They were sleeping with the women, eating the things not meant for them in the temple. They didn't care. But you know what? Samuel was there. He was there. What an opportunity to join bad gang. The children of the man who gave the word of the Lord for you to be born. You now see them. Say, Sam, what did they do now? What did they do? What are you doing? I'm just trying to pray. We are praying now. Me too, I pray. Let's go and club now. Let's go and club. What? Life is not this difficult. Look, I am a pastor's child. What have you studied that I have not studied? What have you known? The first day you may say no. There's nothing in this life. If you keep hearing it, you are going to do it. The second day you say, oh guys, you know, I told you yesterday. The third day, let's talk about it next week. I said, well, after all, I mean, I'm not even as much as his son, like these are his sons. And I can't be more spiritual than they are. Forgetting why he was born. And you see, believers, on the social media, in the world, they get a new job from that humble brother, simple sister. Any activity in church, they're there. Any brother or sister needs help, they grant the help. You see them, sometimes, when they come to you for questions, their questions are about the flock. Sir, have this disciple, and you could see it in their eyes. I know what I'm saying. You could see it in their eyes, and they love to serve. Then, they go to another country, another state, another city, get a new job. You don't have time. Then they start saying, well, you know, I'm working on it. And the whole passion has gone. They have lost their sense of purpose. That's what's going on. Samuel refused to be influenced. You know, we have what we call today social media influencers, right? They influence how you think. They can get reactions. Now, so I sat back and I said, this could have been done to achieve anything. Anything. I mean anything. That's why as your pastor, ask your pastors, I'm very careful in the use of the media. Very, very careful. Because I know that something is selling, that something is popular, doesn't make it of God. So you have social media influencers. They'll come in form of skits. They'll come in form of commentaries, tweets. And there's nothing neutral about what they are saying. They'll make fun of churches, pastors. They will insult elders. I've told you, no generation that curses, insults the elders survives chaos. None. We have a generation in our hands that think only in terms of personal benefits. Money, influence, knowledge without wisdom, resources without proper reason. You find a young man. Too early in life, they know so much. And what they know is not wisdom. too early. So sometimes, because you think you know, and that can happen to even Bible doctrine, you have access to information. The earlier generation, they did not have apps, social media. They can't download. There's nothing to download. If you are going to hear a sermon, you go to the place. You copy the notes. No devices. And they struggled to serve the Lord. Now, very easily, you have a question about speaking in tongues. Pam, pam, just type tongues. You have apps. I remember then, when you see, a brother said, I saw somebody with amplified version in Alakpere. We went to look for the house. Just one Bible translation, amplified version. And we did photocopy. Then Larry then told me that, there's this place, they are bringing in new versions of the Bible. J.B. Phillips, Otto Waste translation, and then they'll put it down. And there are copies that have been used in England. You know, we're buying fairly used Bible. And we're getting there. I will struggle. I will take tons to read the translation. You, 1 week. And tons. Then one guy now got 26 translations. The guy did not know anything in the Bible, but he had money. He will now carry 26 translations. And I say, please borrow me. Or lend me. The guy will give us, I will say, please, 5 minutes. Just check translation, write it down. Now imagine a generation that now has access to information. You now begin to look arrogant. What do you know? Imagine your dad takes his phone and he says, hi. Then you call him to bring it. Then help him say, thank you. You know, in your mind, you think you know better because you could help him use the phone. You are playing stupid. You are playing stupid. Wisdom is a true fruit of knowledge. And wisdom comes with experience. You think because you can send money home and pay the house rent of your parents, you know better than they do. That's not wise. You think because you can explain Greek and Hebrew that any minister who has gone ahead, they don't know Jack. They don't know Jack. You will know Jill. No, that's not wise. That is not wise. That's being stupid. Say, I'm not stupid. Say loud and clear, say, I'm not stupid. I told you, when there was this protest all over Nigeria, I warned you. I said, the result of it will be untellable. And I told pastors, I said, there's a spirit of rebellion that just, thank you for what you wrote, I posted it, that just wants to criticize authority. That could say anything. I told you. And I told your pastors, but I'm going to tell you now, that we are yet to see the full import, even till now, even in our congregation. I told them. You know, because some seeds can take a while to grow. The best you can do, every form of influence, of rebellion in your mind, to personally root it out. Pray in tongues, pray about it. I told you. Because pray in tongues. Arrogance and pride don't start with words. They start with your thinking. How do you think about yourself? That's how you are going to talk to anybody on any issue. Suddenly you think you are a master of different subjects. You can say things. You are now bolder to speak. Look at me. I'm not done. You're not done. It's not boldness. You can now talk. You can now say it. Things you were afraid to say before, you can say it now. It is not the Spirit of God. Not at all. It is not the Spirit of God. And I know the Spirit of God when I see things. I know. This is not the Spirit of God. When I walk in the flesh, me, I know. I'll know myself. Ah, that's not the Spirit of God. Sometimes, it's someone else that is saying something. Then I look back at whom I've done. I say, that's not the Spirit of God. Don't justify bad behavior. Because many people are doing it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Have you found yourself unusually bold? Unusually free to talk? Pray in the Spirit, everybody. Unusually. You can say your mind. Unusually. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's an influence. It's an influence that you have to get rid of. It's an influence. Unusual boldness. And it's not a, look at me, guys. It's usually not towards the devil. That, you see that, it's not like you are casting out more demons. It's not like you are healing the sick more. You are just now bold to talk to people. That's what I want to say. You are not healing the sick, oh. You are not raising the dead, though. That your boldness is not about the works of darkness. So that you can make an objection to your boss. You can reject an opinion from your pastor. You can look into someone who has been in the ministry before you and say you are wrong. You know, that is the boldness you are talking about. But you can't look at the devil and say, get the hell out of here. You've never been able to do that one. It shows you that you're on the devil's side. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. You've not been able to deal with sickness in your body. I say, in the name of Jesus, out. That one is free pass. But you are bold. Bold to talk to dignitaries. Bold to talk to personalities. What matters the most? The boldness of Scripture you don't have. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Says, community, this is for you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Unusual boldness that is not the Spirit of God. Father, let it be rooted out of my life. Pray. I'm not seeing you pray. Unusual and abnormal courage. An abnormal, unusual characteristic that you never had. When was the last time you healed a madman? When was the last time someone who was blind saw? When was the last time you cast out demons, but you are bold towards men? You can reply people easily. That is not the Spirit of God. You've not even dealt with sickness in your life or fear. You are now more afraid of the works of the devil than you used to be. But you are no longer afraid of men and women who should be respected. Either at your office, in your family, in the church, in society. Pray. Unusual boldness. You have found yourself said things now that you didn't used to say before. An evil spirit. Say your mind. A demonic influence. You can't exercise the same boldness towards the power of the devil. But when it comes to people, you talk, you respond. When last did you respond to the devil? You have become more afraid, more anxious, you are worrying the more, yet, unusual boldness, works of the devil. Pray, we are not done. Pray for yourself, who? that demonic influence from the social media, from those I live with, from those I walk with. It's not a boldness that champions the workers of the gospel. No. It's not, you've not planted more churches. You have not raised more disciples. You have not healed the sick more. But you have spoken out. You have not even prayed more. But you are just bold. You now say it as it is. Not as it ought to be said. You say it as it is. Hallelujah. Does he hear? So Samuel was there. He knew this was not the Spirit of God. He knew the purpose why he was born. I know who I am. Come on, say, I know who I am. I love E.W. Kenyon. He said, the greatest confession a man can say, I'm what the world says I am. I'm what the world says I am. Hallelujah. I know why I was born. I know who I am. I know who I am. In my office, I know who I am. In my family, I know who I am. In Nigeria, I know who I am. Every country I live, I stay, I know who I am. No matter what I do for a living, I know who I am. I know who I am. Samuel knew it. Before Samuel 3, 1 to 10, said he was there in the temple. He didn't leave. Eli's children were not there, but he was there. He was there. Let me ask you a question. How come God didn't speak to him outside the place? How come? If you go and change location, and you'll be struggling for revelation, you'll be struggling. You'll just be struggling. I once saw someone, I said, if you are going to criticize something, don't use exegesis. You will struggle for the rest of your life. You will not know why you don't know Bible. You don't know why you are not flowing with this. You will know. You will think it's nothing strange. It's something that happened. He was at the right place. You know the interesting thing? God didn't change anything. It was the same Eli he used to speak to him. That story is so significant that God never said, Samuel, I'm the one talking to you now. Don't go and meet Eli. He was going to send him to Eli. He used Eli to speak to him. So when God is judging somebody, take your mouth out. Your own judgment is still there. While Eli is being judged of being an irresponsible leader and father, Samuel's true innocence and sincerity was also being judged. See, let me tell you. I tell all my friends, I say, whenever I see anyone that, as it were, you know, is going through any situation, I don't want to call it judgment, I learn, because your own will come. So make sure you don't fail your own test. So as God is judging Samuel, sorry, Eli is judging Samuel. That's what's happening. So your life should be so simple when you know who you are. So I said here, you come into conflict. Now look at Psalm 51. So the circumstance of your natural birth has nothing to do with this. Nothing. We're talking about a birth of the Spirit. Psalm 51. And verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. It is believed that his mom, right, was just someone that Jesse had sex with and gave birth to him. But that doesn't change anything. Same way Solomon was the child of Bathsheba. Changes nothing. Nothing. Abraham was an idol worshiper. Changes nothing. Saul wasn't born by a Christian father. It changes nothing. So I said to you earlier, we now know who we are, why we're born by grace. The things given to us, Galatians 1:15, by the Spirit. So the new birth has given me a purpose for living. A purpose for living. A purpose for living. The new birth has given me a purpose for living. I'm not just wearing a tag, a sticker. Nope. I'm not just wearing a badge. I am wearing a purpose. In all these individuals, you will see men that God will use to chart their course, to instruct them. Noah had his great-grandfather by the name of Enoch through Methuselah, then Lamech. They would put you through. They kept calling him Noah. He said, when you come to church and pastor is teaching, has his teaching, he says, you are a saint of God. You are a brother in Christ. You are a sister in Christ. You are a man of God. You know what they are doing? They are calling your purpose. Brother Shagun, purpose. Man of God, purpose. Dr. Tunde is not a purpose. Professor Wale is not a purpose. It's not the purpose. Mr. Onoyinka is not the purpose. When they call you that which is by grace, like Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, they are reminding you. So every teaching, every sermon is purpose reminder. Isaac had his father, Abraham, by his name. He took him, Genesis 22, to Mount Moriah. They will take you to World Changers Conference. They will take you through exercises, vigils. You know what's going on? Is to define who you are to you. Because what will define who you are will be unique. It's unique. 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 And if people will even mock you, where are you going 3 days tomorrow to go and do what you want, worship God all the way? Can't you do it here? Purpose. Isaac laid hands on Jacob. Purpose. Jacob spoke to Joseph. Purpose. So you have people who will communicate it to you. Moses' parents knew who he was. And you know, Miriam was now, they now put Miriam in charge. So Miriam acted like he didn't know who he was and took care of him just to mentor God's purpose. So what I say here is that these are supernatural relationships. They are supernatural. Because they are meant to communicate supernatural things. Rebecca knew who Jacob was. That's why she told him, your father wants to pray. And I said, yes, mommy. Say, go and prepare the venison for him now. Say, look, go and meet him. Bring it. Wear the four clothes that look like your brother Esau. I said, would he not curse me? I don't know why we miss this part of the story. Say, let the curse be upon me, it's not upon him. What's going on? It's a supernatural relationship. She's leading him to God's plan for his life. And she doesn't mind taking the curse, taking the blame. She knows who he is. Even Jacob, you don't know who he was. But she knew. You will find your pastors, your leaders, take that same thing. They will suffer. They will go through everything to show you who you are. To show you. And many times when it's going on, you probably will wonder, is this not too much? Do I need this? And all that. In fact, it got him into trouble because he ran from his brother. But you know, in Genesis 32, when the Lord appeared to Jacob, so your name shall no longer be Jacob, for you are Israel. You have power with God. Something that Rebecca knew. Hallelujah. Lift your two hands and pray for all the supernatural relationships that God has placed into your life. That their words will not sound like the words of mere men. The voice of the Spirit will not look like the voice of a mere man. Pray for yourself. God has brought those people into your life. They will be speaking, directing you. They can come in form of your parents, brothers, siblings, husband, wife, colleague, but it's a supernatural relationship. They brought them in contact with destiny. There was a Miriam in the life of Moses. There'll be men. Come on, pray. That you will not start seeing correction as nagging. Pastor is nagging me now. No! You are seeing the training of the Spirit in your life. Pray for yourself. Sit down. David was a shepherd boy. That was his chosen career. Either by circumstance, maybe the way he filled his jam, anything. You know? When Jesse was told, God said, go to the house of one Jesse. Anoint me a king. And David was just at the back pass. Listen to me. They asked Jesse to call his children. He didn't mention David. He didn't even know who he gave birth to. He didn't mention him. But there was a Samuel. Hallelujah. A supernatural relationship is the one that helps you fulfill God's plan for your life. It's not a professional relationship. Right? It's not an academic relationship. It's not even marital, even though marital should be, except you are a professional stupid person. So here is Samuel. David is still with the sheep. He brought all the seven children he had called Eliab. He said it was Eliab. God said, no. Prophet missed it there. He said, bring him. What he said, there's one. He keeps sheep. He keeps sheep. They asked him to call someone that God wanted to use. Jesse did not remember him. So, what we are talking about, your parents will not know. May not know. Those who are close to you may not even know. People can be very close to you. And they are not spiritual at all in the way they think. They are not. I prayed for myself years ago. I still pray that when people come in contact with me, they will come in contact with God's plan for their life. That's my prayer for myself. That, you remember my boss, way, way older, we walked together. He said, Shego, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I said, you can't be close to me. I'm not going to do that. I said, He's like, it was a cackling. He said, Moleji, she's an altar boy, Rio. I'm not an altar boy, but I'm not talking about altar boy. You know, that's the prayer. That people come close to me, and what they are discovering is something else. Oh! The plan of God for their lives. Hey, Samuel. He said, we will not sit down till he comes. Supernatural relationships. It's only by the Spirit. It's not coincidental. You will see God has spoken to that person or led the person. You had Timothy. Timothy was just in church. Acts 16. Doing well. Paul came around. Said, I need some. And Paul, he's been a Christian. That means he had been born again for a while. And he said, there's one brother. Hi. There's one brother. That brother does not miss prayer group. That brother does not, he does his assignments. And Timothy was not doing it because Paul will come. There's one brother. Now, Acts 16 verse 2 says he was commonly reported. So it's not like two people. Everybody said, I know, we know him. That when it comes to this, someone was describing me to someone. And he said, this, I just met them recently and I've not seen them for many years. And so when I spoke with the person, I said, I saw the sister, so I said, give me your number. I said, I was trying to do this. I know you very well. I'd even seen the person in long years. I said, no. I said, you. Who will have missed you? Who will have missed you out? I said, I'm in Malaysia. I was in Malaysia. And one of your people, when we came in contact with them, I said, I know this person. I know him. I said, oh, you were my house fellowship. I know. You used to attend my house fellowship. I was my house fellowship. I said, yes. He said, we will not know you. He said, you've always been in every prayer meeting. You are in every evangelism. You are heavy. Say, I know you. You know, did I know that it will come up like that? I didn't know. It's just good to do the right thing. See what I'm saying? Just to do the right thing. Commonly reported. And Paul now came, Acts 16, adopted Timothy. Now we are mentioning Timothy all over the world because there was a supernatural relationship that brought him to the place of fulfilling destiny and God's plan. Paul told him in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 through to 5, where he was telling him about his own parents. 2 Timothy 1, he says in verse 5 precisely, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and persuaded is in you. So look at how his earthly parents, and look at the key issue there. He didn't mention his father. He mentioned his grandmother and his mother. So mothers have a duty, a responsibility. In fact, Moses' mother was mentioned more. Rebecca was the one who led Isaac right. It was Eve that kept talking about the purpose of God's plan for Abel. The Bible here marks that well so that we'll get it clear. It was Mary that kept the sayings in her heart about who Jesus was. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? So be named father. No. Thank God for the fatherly duties. But it's a duty of a mother that we can see in scripture. A mother can be a spiritual parent and be that supernatural relationship that helps the child to walk in God's plan for his or her life. Are you here? Are you here? So let's see a few things. In Judges 6:12, we find a man by the name of Gideon that the Lord appeared to and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor," which means God will call you what you probably never knew you were. The word of God changes our identity, changes what we even call ourselves. The word of God, when we hear God's word, is a naming and renaming ceremony. Because at the new birth is a naming ceremony. When we come to church, is an emphasis, allow me to use that phrase, of that naming ceremony. Let's now tidy a few things. In Judges 13, a man was born just like that. Judges 13. Are you in church? Judges 13, quickly. A man was so born by the name of Samson. Judges 13. Now may I add the fact that in verse 4, okay, let me start from 3. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold now, you are barren and bears not, but you will conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and strong drink, or drink nor wine, nor strong drink, nor eat not any unclean thing." So the mother was given an instruction. "For thou shalt conceive and bear a son," verse 5, "and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite, or Nazarene, unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines." Which means there are also cautions. This is who he is. You can't handle this person like every other person. So the new birth, our birth, comes with a caution. Now, in Judges again, 13. So, he said that his heir should be different. The significance of that is that he has a consecration. Consecration will be, listen to this now, is what naturally is your right. But you have waived it. Naturally. There's nothing wrong in someone cutting his hair. I mean, but the Nazarites, it was a symbol of their submission and consecration. So, they carried it Watch this. Everywhere. Whether in social media, in their career, in their tribe, or in the nation that they stay. So the new birth is the same way. As we are born again, and we have the Spirit, and we are led by the Spirit, we have the cautions, instructions of the Spirit because of who we are. Some of them will come to you by the virtue of teaching of the word. Some will come to you by visions and revelations. Some will come to you by the virtue of prophecies. You will know them. And don't be stupid to think that it's applicable to everybody. Don't be. Because one of the marks of an identity crisis is you want to please everyone. You want to be like everyone. It shows you have lost your identity. So here you have Samuel. I mean, Samson. Look at 24. And she bore a son. Judges 13. And called his name Samson. And the child grew just like Jesus. Just like John the Baptist. Just like Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:17. Just like Jesus. Luke 2:40. And 52. Just like John the Baptist. Luke 1:80. The child grew. But watch. And then, the Spirit of Lord, verse 25, began to move him at certain times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So at some point, he wanted, we'll look at the view of this later, he wanted to have a woman, a wife, daughter of the Philistines. And the father and mother said to him in verse 3, Judges 14, he said of the woman among the daughters of the brethren, and they went on, and he said, please pay attention here. And he said, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now look at 4. The father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So it looked like it's odd, but it was not odd. At that point, Samson was being led by the Spirit. Because his purpose was very clear. So he was doing something that looked a bit weird. You know, the father and mother did not know. So he went on, because of our time, let me save you that. And then, they now got another woman. It came to pass verse 15 and 17, they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare all the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house, and all that. And so Samson's wife wept, and that, of course, he had experts here. That this was obviously the leading of the Spirit. But the thing is, we can be led by the Spirit on Monday and led by the flesh on Tuesday, because we're about to see something. In Judges 16. And verse 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So he loved Delilah. And then the lords of the Philistines came to her and said, entice him. And when he sees the Christian, where does he lie? And by what means will we prevail against him? We may bind him, afflict him, and will give thee every one of us 700 pieces of silver. Where did you get a woman that likes money like this? Where? See, the love of money is the root of all evil. I told his sister years ago, I don't want to mention the year, so you dictate who he is. I said, you love money. I like money too. I said, but your own love is serious. I said, you love money too much. You know, because sister was all about, you know, whenever she's talking about a dress, she'll mention, and you know, this is where Casco, you know, Casco is conservative. She said, that dress is, the first thing she'll say is 5,000 naira. That shoe. She knew the designer. This one, that one. So I told her, when I remember we were at the bus stop, I said, you love money too much. She said, no, sir. It's just that. I said, I said to Yoruba, I said, to get in trouble. She said, no. I said, you love money. The way you are, you have to be careful. You love money. Anything money. 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 Eventually, A woman of God, with the hand of God upon her life, she has gone to Mecca. Don't laugh. If I were you, I will not laugh. If I were you, I will not laugh. Because that laugh is foolish. Have you checked your own heart? What you also love like that? Mecca. I'm saying someone that used to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, heal the sick, now has gold tooth. You are laughing. Am I not the one that is raising you? This is the person I raised. You think I'm excited saying that? I'm not excited. Gold tooth. I said you like money. You do. Anything money. Like money. Look at Delilah. Just bought money. Let's give you $7,000. That's all. And here is Samson. Where did you meet someone like that? Where? How did you meet? How? All the conversations you have after church is about opportunities, opportunities, opportunities. You know, this guy just bought a car. This is and you are not concerned. They like money. I know brethren, they like money. Bread. You see, and we are in a country and in the continent where there's a lot of poverty. So if you see a brand new car with a new brother or a sister, how are you? You been coming to church for a while? Yeah. It's good. How are you finding church? You left your disciples. How are you finding church? Oh, good, good. Hey, that's nice. Nice. I mean, pastor teaches us very well and you know this church. That's not what's in your mind. You want a relationship. Networking. Networking. Kia, kia. 5G. Networking. Immediately. You like more. There was people who used to go home together. You go together and go and take BRT or take Uber. There's now a new person who brought the car to church. That's your new friend. Ululaimo. You like money. That is how you will marry. See, that's how you marry. You like money. Money. Some of us will take decisions without praying. They will not pray about our decisions. Because money is involved. How much are you going to earn? How much do you make? $10,000 per week. All the inward resources will bam out of the door. All the, I'm seeing that little boy. I've grown up. I'm not confused. I don't lose. That's the right one. I don't lose. How can I lose $10,000? I don't lose. I'm born of the word. You are not saying, you are singing it to deaden your conscience. I'm born of the word. So we have that. How did he get someone like that? At this point, a man led by the Spirit is now led by the flesh. Because of time, of course, the first time she tried him, he gave her lamba. What do you guys call it? Lamba is scope. He gave her lamba. Yeah, the one that put lamba in my mouth. He's the one that put, and I went to ask what lamba was, and I was told. He was the one that first said, what was lamba? I didn't even ask him. I think it was last week. Yeah. So, he gave lamba the first time. Lamba the third time. You know, you had already seen it. Love can be funny. By the third time, you know why that can happen? You are no longer praying. Fasting, zero. You are spending more time watching movies, social media. You are with friends. You know? So at that point, your sensitivity will be deadened. By the third time, look at what happened. Look at it. Verse 18. She manipulated him. And you said, you love me. How can you love me, uncle? How can you love me? He knew what she was doing. Then you said to me, for better, for worse. You said, I am the only queen of your heart. You said, but this is ministry. What ministry? Is it not one flesh? If it's ministry, does it mean, no, your calling is my calling. My calling is your calling. I've never met someone like that anyway. Calling call. Phone call me. My calling is my calling. He told her all in his heart. Everything. You know, God told me this. Don't mind God. You know, God, everything on his heart. Don't mind God. God likes stress. Things that he would have said in prayer. You know his prayer where you say everything. He's now praying to the wife. Everything. And that was it. Look at verse 28. Of course, verse 22, the air began to grow again. 28, he now said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee. And this once, O God, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines, eventually fulfilled it. Right. And that's the part of it that people don't really see. Verse 30, he said he did more at once than he did all his life. But still didn't make a good example of someone we want to follow. What happened to Samson? He got lost in marriage. He got lost in relationships. Look at me, all of you. I'm going to say this to you. No matter how used you are of God, it's the same caution you have to take. No matter how heavily graced you are in your life, raise your hands, let's pray. Lord, pray that you never throw away caution in your walk with God, in your walk in this life. Pray for yourself. That caution is a part and parcel of your life. Caution over money, caution over food, sex, caution over what you watch, what you eat and drink, what you say, what you hear. Never let come to a point in your life where you are throwing away caution. After all, God is using me. After all, I'm a pastor. After all. So that your consecration doesn't matter again. Your consecration. That's consecration. 2 hours prayer every day. Consecration. 1 day to fast every week. Consecration. Ensure that you reduce your time on TV. You've done it in the 90s. Consecration. Watch what you read, consecration. Watch the friends around you, consecration. But now, you have thrown it to the dogs. You have thrown it out. You have thrown it to the dogs. Consecration. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Throwing caution to the wind. Any object in this earth that doesn't have limitation. We are here today because animals are somewhere else. Imagine if animals mingled with us. Imagine if we go into the bush without caution. Imagine if the air is blowing without caution. Imagine if everything doesn't have restriction. What the earth will look like. Pray. That every chaos in your life. Chaos. No restriction. No caution. Chaos. Pray. He threw caution to the wind. Hallelujah. Let's begin to drive a few things home. Paul kept telling the church, know ye not. Why? Because they are in Corinth. Corinth is like Lagos. It's like New York. It's like London, Paris. Abuja, Port Harcourt. You know, Corinth is like, let me tell you what Corinth is like. Corinth is like social media. The thing about the history about Corinth was it was a conference town. It was a town that, you know, they did a lot of exports and shipping. So people will come from all over the world. That is the only church. Go and see where Paul recognized more than any other letter. Because Romans was like that. Jews, Gentile, and Church of God. All the nations were there. Corinth, so they had, Colossae was equal as that, but Paul was in the Colossae. They had now mixture of ideas. I showed you some, those of you are leaders, our last year leaders training, and I showed you statistics that said in a particular country in the world that about 60% of pastors, their worldview is not the Bible. The way they think is like the way the world thinks, because it has influenced them. So Corinth is like, you know, you're on social media. You're on Facebook, you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter. You begin to see different things. All these things about praying in tongues. Let's have that conversation. What is it about? You have been struggling about praying in tongues. Because you struggle to do devotion. Someone now says, yes, religion is killing people. Christianity is about a personal relationship. And you're reading it. Who is writing? You don't even know. Just say, follow this trail, let's go. Pastor said, let us come, you didn't go. So I said, follow this trail, let's go. Say, see, there was one guy like that in Spain. That's how he started the church. And he brought some people together. That's how they all didn't go to school. That's how, he said, this is looking like my church. See what's happening to you? Corinth. Say, look. Look at believers. There was someone like that who was writing, and he would write all sorts of things. So he now opened, I think it's a WhatsApp group or something, and people were joining. So I saw one guy. He said, I want to join your WhatsApp group, sir. Why? Because the person has money. So I called, do you know this person? He said, no, sir, but I'm just thinking, you know, since he's a Christian, of what? Have you seen him in church? He said, no. You've not seen him in church because he said on social media as a Christian and he talks Bible often. You don't even know his ideology, nothing. You are in a church where they preach the Bible every Sunday. At least, even if they don't practice it, at least they are preaching it. You can see it. You are now following somebody who you don't know anything that he belongs. I said, okay, are you so stupid? I have followed. So Paul had the cause to tell them, know ye not! That you are the temple of God. Why does he have to say that? He had been teaching them, but they are lost in the world. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Do you not know? Because the word he uses there is willful ignorance, where you put aside what you should know. So who are you? Who are you? Who are you? See, brothers and sisters, if you don't know who you are, somebody else will define it for you. Who are you? Who are you? Who you be? Who are you? Who are you? It's your identity must be so clear to you. So clear to you that nothing will change it. Whether it's marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's society, whether it's the economy of your country, whether it is a recent outpouring of an evil spirit, of lust, and it won't change you because you know who you are. You won't struggle in church. So let's say a few things. I said, dangers of wrong identification. When you identify yourself wrongly. Now, we can see clearly that the new birth defines your purpose, right? Defines your purpose. Defines your purpose beyond how you were born, right? Defines your purpose beyond your parents. So, look at the first thing you will know that you are now walking in a wrong identity. You'll be unstable. You'll just be unstable. You'll be unstable. James 1, 6 to 8. He says, you are just unstable. You are just unstable. Yeah. Today, you are here. Tomorrow, you are there. You are just unstable. Prayer, unstable. Walking with God, unstable. The reason why you are struggling with evangelism is because you have an identity crisis. They have to remind you. You think you are just doing it so that they won't see you as an unserious Christian. Is it about what they see or about who you are? Second thing I wrote here. Instructions will now look like burdens. Brethren, things you used to do before. Brethren, we are going to have vigil. This week, sir. Yes. Okay, sir. You now feel like they are stressing you. Whereas 1 John 5 says, the commandments of God are not burdensome. It now becomes burdensome. You praying, I mean, you used to do 6 hours prayer walk, 10 hours in tongues every week. They now say prayer group. You are afraid, you are weary of going. You have lost your identity somewhere. You have lost your identity. You could not miss church. Missing church will look like you've left the faith. Now you easily type it. I might not be in church, sir. You easily can miss a camp meeting. Easy, a meeting that you will lack people to get to. You will borrow money to get to. Now you have a car. Now you have a house. Now you have the resources. You know, you go on bus to get there. You have the resources. I used to live in Lagos and my church was Ibadan. And I would attend 3 services every week. And the thing is, from the Sunday to the Tuesday, I'll be looking for money to go on Tuesday. Sometimes I'll stay behind and stay at Youth Foundation Center to attend the service. Because there was a series going on there, the anointing series, the ministry gift series, how to receive mantles and the call. It was about 4 or 5 months. I didn't miss one. Now, I can afford, to the glory of God, to go anywhere in the world and attend any service. Is it now that I think is far? That means you are backsliding. Don't, you see, don't deceive yourself. Oh. Don't say, it's because I'm not, no. You are backsliding. So you begin to see instructions that you normally would listen to as grievous. 3. You feel left out in natural affairs. You feel left out. You go for your alumni meeting. They say, guys, there's an after so-and-so. So where are you guys going? We're just going to just club, just beef club. You feel left out. So when you are going for a follow-up, you are not thinking about where they are going to. You are thinking, everybody in my office now, they have gone to the beach. That's when Pastor Wale is saying we should come and study something. It's still not public holiday. Why is it the public holiday that he's now saying that's when we should come and do review of study group assignments? What's even study group? Are we a school? You feel left out of an activity that is not tied to your purpose for living. See, I say it in Christ, I lie not. I don't miss anything in the world. I don't miss it. I don't miss, I wish I. Maybe because I got saved early. Maybe that's the problem. I don't miss it. Someone say, have you ever partied before? I partied as a child. Children's party. And I used to win dance competition. I don't have one like that. I danced, and Chief CEO's house. They gave me an award. I kept dancing. They said, Tito. I didn't dance. But ever since our mission came, what am I going there to do? I don't. You think you have missed out. So you think that Jesus just came to stress you. And you're stressing me. Just stressing me. Can't I be free and lose my hair and get on in the world? You feel left out. Then you start having frustration. Frustrations. And one day, the pastor will speak, or your friend, or your husband, and just say, look! My Christianity is not like that! No, it's not because of honor. I cannot be disrespecting the pastor. That's honor. But this is our house. Delilah, you're Jew. Delilah can be a man, no? Say, yeah? Yes! You know, someone told me one day, he said, look, sir. That was in here. He said, sir, thank God for what you have taught us. And the Holy Ghost. He said, best thing I said, love money. He said, but I need a comforter in the flesh. You are laughing. I told you not to laugh. See, what my eyes have seen, and we'll still see, because we are here. You can't say you won't see evil, and say you want to live long. You have to choose one. I don't want to see evil, then you go. Or can love for one more. Do you understand? You can't say you want to last in ministry and your eyes do not see something. Even God's eyes have been seen. His own glory and other glories. So, said, I need a comforter in the flesh. I mean, she explained, this is a doctrine she understands. That is, I know the Holy Ghost, the Alas Paracletos, you know, is a teacher's friend, that's it, but I need somebody in the flesh. That's it. So, you feel frustrated. Why? Because the flesh is not getting expressions. So once in a while, you know, when you have a pulse appreciation, amen? And you know, everything is just, you know, wish. Why can't this be all the time? Why can't we do this all the time? You know, let's everybody, because we're all tight up, you know. You call spirituality tight. We are just tight up. Spirituality is what you call tight up. You have lost your identity. I love praying. I love walking in the spirit. When I'm obeying God, I'm at the highest fulfillment of my life. I don't feel bad at all. A cousin of mine told me, he told me we were walking on the road, he said, this time I said, look, say, what is your life? Are you, he said, what is this how you want to live? And we're mates. Then notice I used to do dominion. So I opened my Bible. I stood on the left. I said, upon the word of God I stand. You know, sometimes it's ignorance, but there was sincerity. I said, I'm going to be a blessing to you and your family. What I'm doing today will bless the nations of the earth. I said, bros, you just helped me. So the day one of the things I said came to pass, I laughed. I told someone in the car, I said, what I'm doing today to their family, I told this guy years ago. I'm not missing anything. You know you're missing? I'm not missing it. There's nothing I left behind in the world I want to go and take. I'm not missing. Why are you feeling you are missing out? I'm missing out. Then they show you something on your college days. My alumni association, they said they want to do something. And they said, will I be part of it? I said, yes, I'll only give you money. So will you come? I said, no, I have church. He said, it's not a Sunday. I said, church is not just Sunday. And I said, I'll give you money. They said, okay. That's all. I'm not missing out. As I'm missing out, I should be there. Hey, everybody's there. Hey, everybody's there. This person came. That person came. The devil came. The devil came. Do you get it? So you feel you are missing out. You think you are suffering. Whereas those in scripture, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. It is God that is at work in you both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring. But you have been complaining of your time, complaining of prayer, complaining of study, complaining of evangelism, complaining of it. You are just complaining because you think he's suffering. Whereas those that they were persecuting for the same reasons, they counted it all joy because they knew who they were. These are the people who ran when Jesus was being arrested. They ran away. But when the new birth came, sir, and when they came in accordance with purpose, they ran towards persecution. Because purpose is important. Knowing who you are. When you know, you don't need anybody to come and see, I encourage you. I've had years as a younger Christian when, you see, me and Brother Tosh was talking. So, we were, talking, and he said, we're laughing or something. Then someone said, there are some people who there oppose you. You know, some preachers, anytime they are afraid of social media mob, we now laughed. We said, we grew from rejection. In fact, you are giving me what I like by not liking me. I said, we grew from rejection. We said, we'll put poster, they'll go, in your presence, they'll go and tear the poster. You enter a meeting and start preaching about you. Somebody has said to come and preach. Somebody had told me one day, he came to me, he said, sir, I want you to come and minister in our church. So we're not staff pastor. He said, look, I don't know any kind of thing exists here. By the time I saw him again, he just greeted me, how are you? Hope you are, somebody had gone to talk to him. We grew that way. We grew up, people getting up and saying, we are leaving. So it's not a big deal. I didn't go to anybody and say, come and help me. I didn't say anybody, didn't make any difference. We are doing Rema Bible School, Reverend Mark Edmito is called Apostle now, came, and then he said, he saw where just two or three are gathered. And somebody else added, maybe a son of God. So, he now saw that we're just about four. And the teaching, he said in this small place, he saw big notes, you know big notes, higher education. He said, promise 1 hour. He said, how long do you want to do this? I said, for the rest of my life. I said, sir, nations are going to hear what I'm saying here today. It was St. George Primary School, upstairs, class 3A. That was our holiest of all, 3A, primary 3A. I said, don't worry, sir. The nations of the earth will hear it. I'm not feeling bad. Why are you counseling? I'm not feeling bad about what I'm doing. You think I'm suffering? I'm not suffering. He thought I was suffering. So I said, no, I'm okay. We are set on a course that we are going to follow. When we made up our minds on this one, it's not for a season. It is for the rest of our life. So I'm not feeling like you're suffering. So you need someone to come and encourage you. So one day someone just comes and says, you know, I understand what you are going through. You say, finally. Because Pastor Lan never speaks like this. He never speaks like this. You know, the way he spoke to me, you know, my pastor is just always talking about the work, the glory of God, glory of God, glory of God. Covered yet. Should my life now be uncovered? covered yet. Someone just came to me and said, look, you see, it's true God loves the world. He loves you too. I mean, enjoy the love first before you show it to the world. Enjoy it first. The thing just resonated. It was like what I'd been waiting for. You know, this was not even about doctrine or anything. It was just something, you could see that it was from the Spirit. Your pastor fasts every week, does VG. That one is not from the Spirit. Somebody that maybe just finished a lager beer came to tell you, you know, you should take care of yourself. But someone was telling me, then in Badon, he said, even Paul said, take it to yourself. You know why that brother believed it? You know why you are like, you are going to fall. So you are, just in order to push you. Say, Boga. I mean, we lost it. Somebody told you, take it to yourself. Means, make up. And you believed it. Something you have preached before. You believed it. You wanted to believe it. Hallelujah. Say, I've got joy. Hallelujah. Sit down. I love what I'm doing. Amen. I love this. I love what I'm doing. You know that joy when someone's life is changed. That's it. I love what I'm doing. Do you get it? Because I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. We'll talk about, if you know that later. I was talking to some of the boys that God helped me to mentor. They're in the political world. And some of them are into government offices. Sometimes we are talking and they say, you are in the world, but you know who you are. there will be benefits you will have to forsake. Because you know who you are. Yes, you're a politician. Yes, you should aspire. You should want to be governor, president, you should. It's like being an MD of your company. There's no difference. But you know who you are. So you don't do it at all costs. And at any cost. You know who you are. You know who you are. So you don't lose identity. Daniel 1, quickly. Are you learning something? Daniel 1. Daniel was a politician. He was engaged in the affairs of this life. Because politicians determine virtually all the policies that we work with. He was there. They brought him, trained him in the king's palace. I used to say oftentimes that there were three intellectuals in scripture. And the three of them were the most quoted in the Bible. Moses, Daniel, I'll say Isaiah too. Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, and Paul. Highly intellectual. High level intellectuals. You could see in their communication, you could see that they had interacted well with the world. Because you don't become knowledgeable, you don't become an intellectual by reading the Bible. Hope that is clear. Become spiritual with the Bible. Then, as an intellectual, you become a spiritual one when you are feeding on the Word of God. Is that clear? So you have this so it shows you that for these three characters, personalities, look at the verbiage of Paul. How Paul presents the same gospel. Why were his letters not admitted? Because his letters carried a more robust conversation, which education does for you. Peter, unfortunately, was a fisherman. John was a fisherman. There's limited education. But Paul was not. Paul was a writer of his days, an author. He was a builder. He was vast, not just in the Torah, but also in natural things. And they distinguished themselves. Look at Daniel. Daniel 1. Now, look at 4. In children in whom there's no blemish and well favored and skillful in all wisdom, calling in knowledge, understanding science, as such as meeting them to stand in king's palace, or whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So these are guys that were running, doing PhDs. Postdoctoral degrees. They were in government offices. They were in political offices. But you know what? Daniel knew who he was. Today, he's called him. The New Testament authors call him a prophet because that is who he was. Look at verse 8. Are you there? Let's read verse 8 together. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not. I want us to read together. Come on, let's go. No, let's take from verse 5. Let's take verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. At the end, therefore, they might stand before the king. Now look at verse 8. It looks like, oh, this is a normal thing. Look at it. Let's take it together. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the priest of the eunuchs that he might not pray for yourself, whatever industry you are, that you will not defile yourself, that you will propose in your heart. Because you know who you are. Pray for yourself. You know who you are. He determined to be different. When you know who you are, standing out will not look like a curse. It will be your cause for living. Pray for yourself. Hallelujah. So he's involved in politics, commerce, technology, science. What a field of endeavor. I've told you, a Christian is the light of the world. He should not be afraid to engage with the world. What are you afraid of? The only reason why you are afraid is because you don't have a sound Christian life. Saying no is nothing. I remember something like that. We're saying this a couple of years ago, and Reverend Paul Ginodu, they was calling Paul, the founder of New Covenant Church. We're talking about women wearing trousers and all that. He now said something. He said, my wife, Kate, Sister Kate then, She said she's not Nigerian. She's British. She doesn't wear trousers. Now, forget about the doctrine of trousers or no trousers. The truth was, it really didn't matter that she was not even a Nigerian. Say everywhere. You can determine in your heart not to do something. Because of who you are. Simple. That everybody is doing it. Everybody is doing it. Don't you know who you are? Everybody is doing it on excuse. Says he proposed in his heart. Look at verse 17. The four of them, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning, wisdom. Daniel had, now let's see the B part, verse 17. Daniel had what? Hey! That means, pastor, in spite of his education, in spite of how many countries he visited, in spite of what he knew, in spite of his exposure to high net worth individuals, in spite of how many conferences he had been abroad, he still was seeing visions. Revelations. He will still be in Holy Ghost meetings flowing. He will still do outreaches. What have you become? What have you become? Simple master's degree that changed. They just promoted you from assistant manager to deputy assistant manager. So deputy manager. You just move from one step to another. Then you are now privileged to attend a single. It's not even the typical banquet. What's this thing that you stand to eat? Is it gala night? Eh? But no. Buffet is, you can sit down. This one, everybody's going to be standing. I've forgotten the name. Eh? Cocktail. Just cocktail with a junior minister, minister for state for tourism. You thought I said terrorism? They sound alike. That's that one guy. They said he should fill visa. I said, what's the reason for visa? He went to fill terrorism. He didn't know how to spell tourism. So they arrested him at the embassy. So he was the tourism. And the man just said, hello, that was all. Hello, Kesa. Yes, sir. Ah! They get to church, you start working like this. Some people just travel. It's just a transit visa. They pass through a European country, they come back and say, hello, hi. Evangelism, zero. He was a man exposed to the president. Visions, was seeing visions, revelations. He was given total interpretation. He proposed in his heart. You know why to continue? Because he knows, or he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He had visions. God, I said, uses intelligent people. Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, Paul. Look at Daniel 3. Hope you are learning something. I know who I am. You know, you can say that any day, I know who I am. In Daniel 3, they now ask them to bow to an image. I've told you, idol worship today is not any image anymore. It's what the world goes after. You are now feeling the pressure to wear what they wear, to do what they do, to treat sex the way they treat sex, to drink alcohol the way they treat alcohol, to do things the way you are now feeling. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, we are not careful. Look at Daniel 3. They said, we are not careful, verse 6, to answer you, O king. Now, what I say, they are not careful. It appears like Daniel was like their discipler. We are not careful. And they were all young men. So, to say you are young is not an excuse. They say, we are not careful to answer you. That is, look, I'm not praying about this one. We will not bow to you. We are not careful. Do you know that what they were doing at this point was standing out? Standing out. No matter where they are. Raise your two hands. Lord, I stand out. Pray in tongues. I stand out for you. For you. Pray in tongues. Come on. I stand out for you in the hospital I work, in my bank, in the university I am. I stand out for you in the nation. I will not be subsumed in any culture. I stand up for you. For you. In my village, in my town, in my city, I stand up for you. Hallelujah. They stood out. Let's take the last one and I'll close up. In Daniel 4, Daniel 6, pardon me. Knowing who he was, they now said, watch this. Don't forget his exposure. He works with a multinational, right? He sits amongst the cream de la cream of the society. They carry him in presidential convoy. He relates to the CBN governor. That's the Central Bank of Nigeria, what you call the Federal Reserve in America. He sits with them. They talk. They take advice from him. He consults with major corporations of the world. That's who he was. The Bible is so, you see a lot of examples. You see the one you are going to see. Take for yourself. Young man. Naturally, he should be impressionable. But he knew who he was. So being sanctified and consecrated does not take away your intelligence. Does not reduce your contribution to the society. I am engaged in many things, but I know who I am. It doesn't change anything. I teach all of you to go after your pursuits intelligently with the whole of your heart, your career dreams, but not at any cost. Did you hear me? You should know how to say no in the midst of your pursuits. Is that very clear? Raise your two hands. Say, I learned to say no. Pray in tongues. Without feeling the heat of acceptance or rejection. I learned to say no. I don't need my pastor to tell me this one. I don't need counseling on this one. I am not careful on this matter. I learned to say no. Hallelujah. Go back to Daniel 6. I'm moving closely. Verse 3 says he has an excellent spirit. And that excellent spirit included visions, revelations, interpreting God's will. The earlier chapter, he interpreted the king's dream of vision. Now look at verse 4. I want you to read this one. Look at this closely. Let us read it together. And I want you to let your mind follow me. Are you here? Are you in verse 4? Then the president, let's go. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion. Now hold on. That means he wasn't having an affair. He wasn't stealing money. Are you there? Aha. So they found no occasion. Go on. But they could not find occasion of a God, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. Now go on. Then said this man, we shall find any occasion against Daniel except, did you see this? Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Let's take verse 6. Then this president and priest assembled together to the king and thus said to him, King Darius live forever. Go on. All the presidents and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains are collected together to establish a royal city and to make a firm decree. Go on. Prayer life. They knew that he had a strong prayer life. Can they say that about you where you are? That, oh God, praise a lot. They know you have 3 PhDs, but you pray a lot. They say, if we are going to get this guy, it is doing the will of God. So they gave the occasion. What did Daniel do? Look at verse 10. Let's take verse 10 together. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. His windows being open, his chambers toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave. Raise your 2 hands again. I will not stop. Pray for yourself. I will stop. I will cease. A powerful politician. Businessman. A powerful politician, a businessman. an intellectual. A PhD holder. The governor of a state. Evangelizing. Fasting. Waiting upon the Lord. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. So you can see that it's not that you are busy. No. Stand to your feet. It's not that you are busy. Oh. It's like you have lost your identity. You can't be busier than this guy. I showed you this one earlier on. Solomon, right, was doing the same thing. In his own case, he was no longer praying. He now had enough time to spend with kings, governors, presidents, princes, and didn't serve God. And what was he now serving? Idols. See this one? They knew about his prayer life. They knew he was a man of God. So there's nothing you are doing that precludes you from doing what you are doing for the rest of your life. Lift your hands and pray for yourself. From now till the end. Pray for yourself. We'll close here.